Have you ever seen out in public or met someone unexpectedly famous? I want you to think about that for a moment. Everybody online, you participate as well. If you're online, maybe you want to type their name into the comments and get a little discussion going there. But if you have ever seen or met somebody unexpectedly somewhere famous, hold your hand up. All right, let's just find out a few of those. If you had your hand up, somebody that's over here. Who? Cameron Diaz? All right, definitely someone famous. It's a pretty good one. Somebody here? Billy Joel. Awesome. He's still alive? Okay, yeah, all right. Somebody raise their hand over here. Anybody over here? Who'd you meet?
John Stamos.
John Stamos. Yeah, all right. I got to tell you, last night's service, famous people were better than you. So... But yeah, if you've ever met someone famous, it's kind of like, is that? I think that might be. And I've met a few famous people. It seems like most of them are in airports. I guess that's the only place I ever am that famous people are. But when I was in college, I saw Andre the Giant in the Chicago airport. That was the largest human being I've ever seen in my life. It was, I mean, every single person just stopped and stared, which I can't imagine what that would be like your entire life. But that was pretty incredible. Last summer, my family was at a hotel here in Southern California, and we were eating breakfast when all of a sudden Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union came in and sat down right by us. Now, my sons, who are crazy NBA fans, recognized Dwayne Wade, and my wife and I recognized Gabrielle Union. And I wanted to get a picture with Gabrielle Union, but I didn't think Dwayne Wade would think that was cool. So my son went over and asked Dwayne Wade for a picture. Here's my son with Dwayne Wade last summer. My son's the one on the left. Just in case you're wondering. But that was pretty cool. And then I'll just give you one more. This one just happened to me 2 weeks ago. I was in the San Diego airport getting ready to fly to Houston to speak at a pastor's conference. And I go to the restroom because that's a pretty good flight. I'm like, we need to use the bathroom before we sit on a plane for a few hours. And as I'm walking up to the urinal, I feel like I recognize the guy who's already standing at the urinal I happen to go stand next to. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a public men's restroom, ladies, but there are clear man laws that are active in men's restrooms. Number one, you speak to no strangers in those places. Number two, if you're standing there, you do not look side to side, and you definitely don't glance down, okay? You stand there focused, and you do your business. But I realize while I'm standing there, I'm like, dude, that's Gene Simmons next to me. Some of you are like, who's that? Not to be confused with Richard Simmons, all right? Even though they both wear spandex, not the same person. Gene Simmons, Kiss, all right? And I'm like, so I'm standing there, I'm like, this is Gene Simmons. What do I do? And I'm talking to myself. I'm like, just stay focused and do your business here, okay? So I finish, go over, start washing my hands. He comes over, and then we shared a moment where he kind of looked up from washing his hands and our eyes met in the mirror, and I gave him kind of like a, what's up, Gene Simmons, I know who you are look. And he just kind of looked back at me and acknowledged that I knew who he was, but I spoke no words because that's the man law. And then we both dried our hands, walked out of the bathroom, and I went one way and he went the other way. And that's my Gene Simmons story, okay? Right there. Now, here's the thing. Whether it was Andre the Giant or Dwayne Wade or Gene Simmons, I know who those people are. Like, I might have even watched them perform. I might have watched them on TV. Maybe I read a biography about them. But the thing is, I don't know them personally. Just because I've heard of them doesn't mean I necessarily know them. And today, we're starting a brand new series that we're going to go through for the next 3 weeks. And we're going to talk about someone that I think a lot of us have heard about. A lot of us might even say, oh, we know who that is. But maybe we don't know this person personally, in the way that we could and in the way that if we're a Jesus follower, we should. And that person is the Holy Spirit. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about how can we understand this gift of God's presence that's given to us in our world and in the life of every follower of Jesus. I want to invite you to grab that program out of your, or grab the outline out of your program, or if you're on the app, click over there on notes. Take some notes today. I want to welcome all of our churches, every single person online as well that is a part of this. And let's jump into this first big idea as we start this journey of learning about the Holy Spirit. Here's the first big idea I want to give you. Go ahead and write this down. The Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is the eternal God. God three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so understand, the Holy Spirit always was, the Holy Spirit is, and the Holy Spirit will be God's active presence at work in our world. This is what we see from the very beginning of the scripture story in Genesis chapter 1. The first few words of our scripture story start this way, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's verse 1. Verse 2, "The earth was formless and empty, and the darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." That's verse 2. And then verse 3, "Then God said," God spoke, "let there be light, and there was light." If you keep reading, God spoke all of creation. Through the power of his word, creation began. And so right from the beginning, we learn in the first three verses of the Bible, three very unique, important things about God. In verse 1, first of all, that there is Father God, who is the creator of all things. Verse 2, that there is the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. So we have God the Father present. We have the Spirit of God present at creation. And then in verse 3, it is the power of the Word of God that creates all things. Now, you might recognize that little phraseology there, the Word, from our last series. You remember our last series, I Heart Chula Vista, or I Heart whatever city that our churches are in? We had a theme verse from the Gospel of John. It was John chapter 1, verse 14, that it said, "The Word became flesh and blood." You remember our theme verse from the previous series? The Word, that's a title for Jesus, became flesh and blood and moved in the neighborhood. John, over and over again in the first chapter of his gospel, refers to Jesus by this title, the Word. And I want to show you in verses 1 through 3 what he says about Jesus being present at creation. Look at this. He says, "In the beginning, the Word," title for Jesus, "already existed. The Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him." And so John is telling us that the Word is Jesus Christ personified, and he was there at the beginning. And so from the very beginning of the scripture story, we have God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, the Word, and we have the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is present throughout the scripture story. But here's something important to understand about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force in the universe like the force in Star Wars. Where's all the Star Wars fans? If you're like a legit Star Wars fan, hold it up with pride. All right, you should be volunteering in the tech team. That's just what I want to let you know. But if you know the Star Wars movies, right? I mean, a huge part of the storyline of Star Wars is that there is this mystical, mysterious force in the universe that only a few people with years and years and years of training can tap into the power of the force. And the force can be used for good, or the force could be used for evil. And the force is this kind of impersonal, mystical, mysterious energy that is out there. That is not who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal, you know, mystical force out there only for a select group of people. Here's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the very nature, the power, and the essence of God himself that is present throughout the scripture story and that is present in our world today and wants to be active in every life of every Jesus follower. And so when you read the pages of the Old Testament, what you see is that in the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible that gives us kind of the story of us and the history of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, is that you see the Holy Spirit worked very differently in the Old Testament than he did after Jesus and in the life of the church in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, here's the way the Holy Spirit worked. The Holy Spirit would come on specific individuals at specific times for specific tasks. This is what you see over and over again. If you read stories in scripture, there's some pretty amazing famous stories. One about a guy named Joseph. And the Spirit of God comes on Joseph and allows him to interpret Pharaoh's dream when he's a slave in Egypt. And it gives him great favor to accomplish God's purposes in his life. And so through the Spirit of God on him, he's able to do something he could never do on his own. There's another famous story in the Old Testament. It was actually turned into a movie this year about a guy named Samson. And maybe you've heard the Samson story. He was given, the Spirit of God would come on him and give him amazing physical strength to defeat the enemies of the Israelite nation, the nation of Israel. You also see a story about a guy named David, who the entire nation of Israel is cowering in fear of Andre the Giant. All right, not Andre the Giant, but an actual another giant by the name of Goliath. And everybody is scared, but the Spirit of God comes on this teenage boy who is fearless in the face of a giant and actually slays the giant and goes on to be the leader of the nation of Israel and has victory after victory after victory because of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, on his life. But later in David's life, he kind of turns his back away from God. He makes some really bad choices. He sins against God. And when he kind of finally comes to that point of realizing that he was going the wrong way, have you ever had those moments where you're like, what am I doing here? How did this happen? How did I get here? When he finally gets to that place and he realizes it, he writes this amazing prayer in Psalm 51. And I want to show it to you because it shows us that the Holy Spirit is present throughout the Old Testament story. And look at this prayer that David says. He says, create in me a pure heart, God, and make my spirit right again. In other words, he realizes, man, I am disconnected from God. God didn't move, I moved. I went away from him. And so, God, make my spirit right again. Do not send me away from you or take your, say these next two words out loud, Holy Spirit away from me. You see, what David realized is that it was the Holy Spirit of God on his life that gave him the strength, that gave him the courage, that gave him the wisdom, that it was the energy of the Holy Spirit that propelled his leadership and his kingship forward. And David said, God, I recognize that it is your spirit, and please don't take that from me. And so from these examples and others throughout the Old Testament, here's what we see, that the Holy Spirit comes on specific individuals for a specific time, for a specific purpose. But when we turn the pages of the scripture story to the New Testament that tell the Jesus story, and then the story of the early church, everything changes. That Holy Spirit that was only present on the prophets and on select group of people, now Jesus brings forth this new era, this new covenant, this new promise where the Holy Spirit is now at work throughout our world, and the Holy Spirit will actually take up residence in all people who choose to follow Jesus. And so here's the way our Holy Spirit works today. What's the difference between what the Holy Spirit did then and how the Holy Spirit works now? Let me give you a real simple phrase to help you understand how the Holy Spirit works today, right now. Go ahead and write this down. The Holy Spirit works on us, in us, and through us. The Holy Spirit works on us, in us, and through us. Jesus told his disciples that when the Holy Spirit comes, one of the things he's going to do is he's going to work on not just them, but he's going to work on the entire world. And in fact, Jesus said something crazy to his disciples. He said, it's actually better for you if I leave. Now imagine that. They're hanging out with the resurrected Christ. Could it get better than that? I mean, you're hanging out with Jesus who's conquered death and the grave. He's resurrected. And then Jesus looks at him and says something crazy. Hey, it's actually better for you if I ascend and go back to heaven than stay here. What? Why is that? It's because of the Holy Spirit. Look at what Jesus says in the next verse in your outline in John chapter 14. These are the words of Jesus. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate, that's a title for the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, the counselor, those are some of the titles and names given to the Holy Spirit. The advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, so what does the Holy Spirit do in our world now? When he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. And so what the Holy Spirit does, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is that he convicts and convinces us of sin, and he convicts and convinces us of God's righteousness. In other words, kind of like David in that prayer, right? David realized he was going the wrong way, and he said, man, I want to get back on this right path. And so here's what the Holy Spirit does. Think of the Holy Spirit working on us like a magnet. All right, I got two magnets here. Don't be too impressed. I am not Harris the Third magician, who actually will be back here in December, by the way, for our Voices series. But there's a magnet on each of these sides. And how does a magnet work, right? One magnet draws, they're drawn towards each other. And so wherever I move this magnet on the back, the one on the front, ooh, be amazed, right? The one on the front is going to follow until I knock it off there, right? Like, why is it going to work that way? Because they are drawn to one another. This is a great way to understand how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works on us to try to draw us towards Christ, to try to draw us towards a relationship with Christ, to let us know that living our way on our terms is not necessarily the best way, but that God has a better way to live. And so prior to us saying yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is like a magnet. The Holy Spirit is working on us. He's trying to open our ears to hear the good news of Jesus, the gospel, that now everybody can be reconnected back to God, that our sins can be forgiven. He's trying to open our eyes to see our own unrighteousness, to see our own sin, and to realize that we need a Savior. And so prior to salvation, the Holy Spirit is working on us like a magnet, drawing us to the Son, drawing us to Jesus. But another way the Holy Spirit works is after salvation, the moment that we say yes to Jesus, Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. And so now the Holy Spirit is in us. Look at the next verse in your outline. 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says this, don't you know? He's talking to Jesus people. He's talking to Jesus people that are living a way that they shouldn't. And he says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the what? Holy Spirit. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's not just out there somewhere. He's in here, who comes from God and dwells inside of you. So the Holy Spirit is working on us, drawing us to Christ like a magnet. And then the moment we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit is working on us. And let me give you another metaphor. The Holy Spirit works on us. And what is that like? It's like a light, okay? So the Holy Spirit works on us like a light. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, here's what does a light do? A light exposes things that are in the darkness, and a light expels the darkness. This is what the Holy Spirit does in our life. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and he exposes corners of our life that he says, man, I can clean that up. I can help you build godly character in that place. This is what we're going to talk about last week, or next week, this three-week series that we're in. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit is on us, in us, and ultimately wants to work through us. And next week, we're going to lean in to this idea of the Holy Spirit filling us and the Holy Spirit producing his good fruit in us. Galatians 5 talks about this, the fruit of the Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit is in us, he expels the darkness and he replaces it with things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And so our character becomes the best version of ourselves that God's created us to be. And so think of the Holy Spirit working in us like a light, exposing the darkness and expelling the darkness, bringing the good things that God wants to produce in us. But God's not done there. The Holy Spirit works on us. The Holy Spirit works in us. And then the Holy Spirit works through us. That when the Holy Spirit is in our life and we are constantly being filled and refilled with his Spirit, living out of his strength and his power, there is something in us now that is greater than ourselves. This is what Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:8. Look at the next verse on your outline or up here. In fact, can we read this first sentence out loud together? Let's all do this everywhere, patios, parent viewing rooms, all churches, everybody here in Chula Vista, just the first sentence. Ready? Begin. but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. What a great promise. In other words, there is a source of energy, that there is something that is going to be able to propel you forward in life and in faith that you would not be able to accomplish on your own. That there is a power and an empowerment and an energy that comes into our life and through our life when the Holy Spirit comes in us. And specifically, it's to use our life to accomplish the mission of Jesus everywhere that we go, where we live, work, and play, right? And that's what Jesus tells his disciples. So you're going to have a power when the Holy Spirit comes in your life to do what? Well, here's what. You will have a power. You will tell about me in the city of Jerusalem and all over the countries of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit brings in a power in our life to use our life, not just for us, but to use our life in partnership with God's mission in the world and through us. And so think of the Holy Spirit, let me give you one more metaphor. Think of the Holy Spirit like a magnet working on us, drawing us to the person of Christ. Think of the Holy Spirit working in us like a light, exposing the darkness and expelling the darkness. And then think of the Holy Spirit, here's the last metaphor, wanting to work through us, propelling our life forward like a wind. In fact, let me show you a scripture verse where Jesus refers to the Spirit of God's work like the wind. It's not on your outline, but it's up here on the screen. It's John chapter 3. Look at what Jesus says. The wind blows all around us as if it has a will of its own. We feel and we hear it, but we do not understand where it has come from or where it will end up. Life in the Spirit is as if it were the wind of God. Life in the Spirit is as if it were the wind of God. You see, the wind is something invisible, but the effects of the wind are perceivable. So here's a fan. I got a little fan right here. It's on. You can't see it. I can feel it. And so we can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. So if I take this little pinwheel here and just set it in front of the fan, now we can't see the wind, but we can see the effects of the wind. And as soon as I move it out, it begins to stop. This is a great picture of the way that the Holy Spirit works in our life and wants to work in the life of the believer. That the wind of God wants to propel our life forward, giving us an energy, giving us a power that we would not have on our own. And so think of the Holy Spirit like the wind of God, propelling our life forward to accomplish all the good that God has for us. That's how the Holy Spirit works in our life. And so you and I can be filled with the Spirit. We can harness the power of God, that we can live a supernatural life in a very natural world. But here's the thing. We must choose to be open and what Scripture teaches, continually filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit of God, it is not a one-time activity any more than, you know, charging your electric car one time or getting gas one time is, right? I mean, as you use your car, whether you have a gas or electric car, what do you have to regularly do? Some of you are like, I don't know. It's not that hard of a question. You got to fill it up or you got to charge it up, right? Like that's, you just can't keep driving forever. Yet a lot of times, the reason I think we're not living an overcoming life is because we're living, here's how we're living. Go ahead and write this final thought down. Here's the final thought. We can live a spirit-less or a spirit-led life. We can live a spirit-less or a spirit-led life. In other words, we can choose to live this life of faith on our strength, on our wisdom, on our power, on our ability. That would be the spirit-less life. Or we can live a spirit-led life, being filled and refilled regularly with God's Spirit. So we have His strength and His wisdom and His power at work every day, in every way, in every relationship in our life. That is our choice, right? Just, I mean, like this spinner, I can choose to put it in front of the wind, or I can choose to take it away. This is a great picture of the way that we partner with the Holy Spirit. We choose to put ourselves in a place where the Spirit of God can begin to work in our life. And so let me give you a few common responses to the Holy Spirit. And as we close this out, I want you to kind of maybe just look within and consider this question. What has been your posture to the Holy Spirit? Like, in other words, what has been your kind of the positioning of your life to the Holy Spirit? Because there's really three options. And here's the first one. Some people just aren't aware of the Holy Spirit. Write that in there. Some people aren't aware of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never been taught about the Holy Spirit or how to live in the Spirit's power. Maybe you're here for the first time or you've been coming to church for just a few weeks or a couple of months. Let me just say, if you're a guest with us, you're new to hanging out, man, I'm so glad that you're here. What a great series for you to step in on to see how God's presence, the Holy Spirit, wants to work on your life and in your life and through your life to help you be the best version of yourself that you were created to be. And so this is why we're doing the series, because maybe you're somebody, you're like, man, I'm not even aware. I've heard the name, I've heard of the Holy Spirit, but I couldn't tell you kind of what the Holy Spirit is or how the Holy Spirit works. That's why we're doing this series. So some people just aren't aware of the Holy Spirit. But we also see from Scripture that this is a posture that we can take if we choose. Some people actually resist the Holy Spirit. Resist the Holy Spirit. In other words, hey, I choose to keep you out of my life. I choose to put you at arm's length. Some people resist the Holy Spirit. So maybe you had a bad experience in church. Maybe you heard some bad teaching that caused you to resist the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've thought, man, that's just for those crazy Pentecostal charismatic churches, right? Where they run around during worship and people fall on the floor after, and you know, like you're like, I don't want to go there, that's why I'm here. the Holy Spirit is not just for one, you know, kind of group or style of church. And so maybe because of some fear or some abuses, you've resisted the Holy Spirit. But the best response to the Holy Spirit, the kind of people that we want to be, the kind of person I think you want to be, the church that we want to be, here's another response. Some people welcome and walk in the Spirit. Some people welcome and walk in the Spirit. And this is how you and I can experience an overcoming life in this life of faith, because we're not living in our strength, we're not living in our power, we're not living in our wisdom, we're not living in our abilities, but the Spirit of God is filling us up and He is doing things in us and through us that we could never do on our own, which is what? Number one, transform and change. We can't do that in our own strength and power, and the good news of this Jesus story is we're not asked to. That transformation, that ability to overcome that addiction, that ability to be set free out of that bondage, that ability to forgive that person that hurt you, it doesn't come from your willpower, it comes from the Spirit of God inside of you. And so we want to be a church and we want to be the kind of people that welcome and walk in the Spirit. We want to be a church that says, God, man, we need you to show up. Would you, like a magnet, draw us to yourself? Would you let your light shine and expose the darkness inside of us? Would you build your character in us? And Lord, would you help us partner with you? And would your wind, would the breath of God, the power of God, propel us forward to do everything that you want us to do? And this idea is the heart of our theme verse. I want to introduce you to our theme verse. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this verse, and here's kind of my challenge today. I want you to read this and pray this every single day for the 3 weeks of this series. So if you got a paper outline, maybe just fold it up, put it, you know, on your mirror, put it on your desk, maybe, you know, make it a screensaver, put it on your calendar, like whatever you do. But I want you to pray this, and I want you to read this every single day, because these are the kind of people we want to be. This is the kind of church we want to be. And my guess is you want to be this kind of person. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, here's our theme verse, and I'd love for us, could we read this last verse out loud together in our outside voices? Okay, here we go. Everybody, ready, begin. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Don't you want to live that way? Man, don't you want to go to work this week following the Spirit's leading? Don't you want to step foot on your college campus, on your high school campus, following the Spirit's leading? as you live life in your neighborhood and in your social circles, don't you want to follow the Spirit's leading? I'm going to invite the band to come back out, and we're going to close with a worship song that celebrates this idea of the Holy Spirit coming on us, in us, and working through us. In the first part of the song, I just want you to stay seated, and here's what I want you to do. I want you just in your own way, as you look at these words, as you reflect on what you heard today, I want you to make some spiritual decisions in this moment. For some of you, here's what I pray happens. For some of you, the Holy Spirit has been drawing you to Jesus like a magnet. And over the last couple weeks or the last couple months, you've had spiritual questions and you've had spiritual conversations and you found yourself in church and you're like, I never thought I'd be a church person. And here you are. Like, how did that happen? Here's how. Because the Holy Spirit is like a magnet. He's been drawing you to the person of Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been working on you. And maybe today is your day that you cross this line of faith and you say, Holy Spirit, welcome. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Jesus, I choose to follow you. And in that moment you say yes, now the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. And maybe today is your day. And so during this song, maybe just in your own head, in your own heart, in your own way, you say, Holy Spirit, welcome. And you choose to say yes to Jesus. Others of you, you need to choose to let the light of the Holy Spirit, maybe you've been resisting because, you know, you don't want to stop living a certain way and you know you should, or you've just kind of kept the Holy Spirit at bay. Today, let the light of the Holy Spirit into your life and let him kind of expel some darkness and fill you. And others of us here today, like every one of us, need to be filled and refilled with the Spirit. We need to choose to partner with the wind of God and let his strength be what propels us forward. And so I want you to think about what your response is today. I want you to stay seated during the first half of the song. Then you'll be invited to stand and participate. But let's be people that welcome and walk in the Spirit. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you don't invite us into this life of faith and ask us to make this journey in our strength and own power, but you give us your very presence in the Holy Spirit to give us everything that we need to find and follow you. And so, Lord, I pray for friends that are being drawn right now to Christ like a magnet. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see you and open our ears to hear the good word that we are loved, that we can be adopted, that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Lord, would you shine your light into every part of our life? And would we be people and we be a church that welcome your Spirit and your presence and then choose to be led and walk in the power of your Holy Spirit? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revelation. Sing.